Welcome to the Homeschool Sanity Show, your weekly prescription for happier, healthier homeschool living. I'm your host, Dr. Melanie Wilson, Christian psychologist turned homeschooling mother of six.
Hey, homeschoolers. I've been hearing from moms who are going to be homeschooling for the first time this year, and the prospect is overwhelming. That got me thinking about what I wish I had known when I started homeschooling 17 years ago. So, of course, I'm going to share it with you. I would love it if you would share this podcast with a new homeschooler you know. If you don't know any, you can help them find the show by leaving a review on iTunes. I would be so appreciative. This week's teaching tip goes along with being a new homeschooler. I've had people ask me for help getting started in homeschooling or finding the right curriculum for them. While I'm willing to offer a few tips, I refer people to Amy Michaels of Thrive Homeschooling. She has created an online academy with videos and worksheets that make getting started or revamping your homeschool so simple. You'll find complete courses on choosing and customizing curriculum, unit study planning, setting up workboxes, teaching gifted kids, teaching reading, writing, and math. The good news is that the Thrive Academy is on sale now. Go to homeschoolsanity.com/wish to access the link and see what's included. I know you'll be impressed. The organized homeschool challenge of the week is the extracurricular challenge. The thing about most homeschoolers is we aren't home all that often. We love getting involved in classes, sports, and educational activities. Our biggest problem isn't finding these opportunities, it's deciding which to participate in. This week, we will get organized for these extracurricular activities so they don't overwhelm us at the beginning of the traditional school year. The first step is to discuss potential activities. I don't recommend that you start with research. Overwhelm is the inevitable result of checking out every possibility. Talk with the kids about their ideas, but share yours too. Parents are the ones who have to drive to activities, hang out during activities, and pay for the activities. Pray about the opportunities that will put the least stress on your family and may even be something you could enjoy together. Our family has participated in a homeschool PE class for years. Everyone has enjoyed it, and I have made numerous friends through it. Step number two is research. Once you have a short list of interests, find out what is available in your area and when. I find our homeschool support group invaluable for this kind of information. You can get the details and reviews of opportunities. As you are making some decisions, try to combine outside activities on one or two days and see if allowances can be made to include younger siblings in the same class to save you time. This summer, my four sons have been playing tennis on two teams. My oldest son drives his brother to matches, all his brothers to practice, which is at the same time, leaving just one match we have to drive to. If only every activity could be that easy. Step number three is register. When you've made your final decisions, get registered. Fill out paperwork and pay any dues. Don't put it off. I will never forget dragging four little ones to register for classes that were closed because I was at the end of the line. Don't let this happen to you. Step number four is shop. Some classes will have a materials list. Others are sports that may require appropriate clothing or equipment. Shop today for these supplies or add them to your shopping list for your regular errand day. Be sure to check the Organized Homeschool Pinterest board for great ideas for extracurricular organization. What I wish someone had told me when I started homeschooling. The first thing is, your kids won't always love school. I took my children to Disney World when I had just 3 boys, and the youngest of them was 3 years old. I was just as excited about taking my children to Disney World as I was about beginning to homeschool. I knew that they were going to be blown away. So the first time we walked through those gates at Disney World, I expected my children to be hugging me and shrieking with delight. Instead, they demanded to have the juice packs they knew I had packed in the back of the stroller. Suffice to say, I was pretty disappointed. The other story that I have to tell you about kids not always loving school is the first time my husband was changing our oldest son's diaper. He was a newborn. My husband had no experience around babies. And when he took our son's diaper off, our son started to cry and wail. My husband got so agitated because he thought he was doing something wrong. I was able to reassure him that that's what babies do. It was cold when he took the diaper off, and so, of course, our baby was uncomfortable. In the same way, our kids are not always going to love school because that's what kids do. They complain about doing schoolwork and even learning when learning is so rewarding. My son, who is now in college, when he was 16 years old, the same son who was shrieking over the diaper change and also demanding a juice pack, told me that he wanted to go to school. And at the time that he told us this, my husband and I knew that this was the best decision for him. But it was not something that I anticipated happening in our homeschooling journey. I had everything planned out for my son. I was going to have him complete his college degree while he was in high school. I was going to have him only taking in Christian education, either at home or even through his college courses. And he had a different plan in mind. You see, your kids won't always love school. I wish someone had told me that. The second thing I wish someone had told me is that I wouldn't always love school. Homeschooling books, I'm convinced, like the ones that I read before I started homeschooling, are like romance novels. They're not very realistic. They can get you really excited and your expectations really high. But things don't typically pan out the way they do in homeschooling books, just like they don't in romance novels. I didn't know that I would be so incredibly tired when I was homeschooling. I had 3 more pregnancies after I started homeschooling. I had 3 children who were 3 and under. I started my oldest when he was in preschool. And I didn't get sick. I had a little bit of nausea when I was pregnant, but my biggest complaint when I was pregnant was just exhaustion. And even after that first trimester exhaustion passed, I was so tired from taking care of babies and chasing toddlers and occupying preschoolers. And I didn't know that homeschooling, especially homeschooling a large family, would be so very tiring and that there would be days that I didn't want to do it anymore. I did not know that my kids, 5 of them boys, would be so destructive. It was so wearying and discouraging. Every time I turned around, there was another hole in the drywall of my basement, which is where my schoolroom was. And every time I turned around, something I had just purchased was broken. One of my worst days ever was when I had my brand new laptop on the floor of my bedroom. I didn't have it up off the floor as I should have. I didn't have my bedroom door locked. Yes, I carried around keys to lock everything up behind me as I went about my day. And my toddler got to my laptop and pulled about 90% of the keys off of my laptop. As you know, I'm a writer, so this was a little disconcerting for me. The truth is, I had a major hissy fit about it. Looking back, I really wish I had recognized that this was not the end of the world. But I didn't love homeschooling that day. And I had other days that I didn't love homeschooling because of my hormones. I had pregnancy-related hormones. Anyone who has been pregnant knows what I'm talking about. Really, even if you haven't been pregnant and you have just experienced the lows that tend to come with our monthly cycles, you'll know what I'm talking about. The problem is, I didn't know that perimenopause would hit me as hard as it did, and that this would co-occur with my children's pubescent hormonal changes. What a joy. I was just talking with a mom in a waiting room yesterday who was telling me that this shows that God has a sense of humor, that we're all dealing with hormones at the same time. It definitely made me not love homeschooling all the time. I didn't realize that there would be days I felt I was losing my mind. I didn't realize that I wouldn't always like checking my kids' homework. There are parts of homeschooling that I absolutely love, but that is not one of them. There will be days when you don't love homeschooling. This is the final thing that I wish someone had told me when I began homeschooling, and that is, there is no homeschooling approach, curriculum, or parenting philosophy that will produce perfect children. My pride has been assaulted by kids who refused to potty train. I bought the book, How to Potty Train Your Child in a Day, thinking that as a psychologist with a bright child, I should definitely be able to potty train my child in a day, but no, that was an absolute disaster. He hated me. I hated him. I hated potty training. I was certain that I would never be able to potty train my children. And the truth is, most of my children were late potty trainers, and it was humiliating because I had people who were telling me that I needed to get busy and I was failing by not getting them potty trained. Of course, my perspective on all of that has changed, but that was one example of how I learned that the books aren't always right. I've tried just about every respected approach, curriculum, and parenting philosophy. And I've also been humbled by the fact that I have had to homeschool kids with speech delays, kids who are strong-willed, kids who have ADD, kids who are rebellious. And what I've learned is that sometimes the best results that I get have come from being my imperfect self, not doing exactly what the books and the experts tell me that I need to be doing. When I waited until my kids were older to potty train, I had no problems training them. When I waited on my children's speech delays instead of stressing and trying to use a curriculum to correct their difficulties, I had no problems. When I let my strong-willed, rebellious kids calm down and mature, I had no problems. Things worked out. I haven't mentioned the results of homeschooling a child with ADD because that is still unfolding. I've failed so many times in my homeschooling, and yet I'm so thankful that we've homeschooled, even though there is no perfect homeschooling approach, perfect homeschooling curriculum, perfect parenting philosophy. We have been so blessed by homeschooling. And that's what I would have wanted to know when I started homeschooling 17 years ago. Today's action steps are: check out Thrive Homeschooling's Academy at homeschoolsanity.com/wish. Get ready to laugh when your kids don't want to do school. That makes them normal. You don't have to withhold all sugar. Get ready to go out with your homeschool mom friends who will tell you that you're normal for wanting to quit homeschooling. Definitely don't withhold sugar. I recommend chocolate. Acknowledge that you won't produce perfect children. All the experts whose kids grew up to be missionaries or PhDs in neurochemistry at age 13 don't have perfect kids either. But you do have God's perfect mercy and love to get you through this year. I know I'm still counting on that. Today's episode has been brought to you by Grammar Galaxy, the fast, easy, and fun way to teach language arts to beginning readers. Have a happy homeschool week.
Thank you for joining me for the Homeschool Sanity Show. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.